Today, I'm going to share with you another of the injury personas, what goes on for that particular person, and importantly, how you can apply that to your life, whether that's for yourself, a young athlete in your care, or maybe a child, or even a work colleague, someone you're leading, and what you can do to help them navigate that. I'm Ian Hawkins, and this is Sport is Life. The purpose of sport, as I see it, is to see your vision become a reality. Find your voice, create strong connections, and learn to trust your body. On this week's injury persona wrap, rather than diving deeper into some of the injuries from the weekend, I want to look and dive into one of the specific injury personas, the burnout injury persona. So there are people in this world, we would know them, you might even be one of them, that experiences anxiety. And when you've built up different coping mechanisms to deal with that anxiety, sometimes there's a bit of a repercussion of that. Sometimes the coping mechanism's not particularly healthy and can have other impacts. And so just because someone's really good at a particular sport or anything for that matter, doesn't mean that they don't experience anxiety. It might mean that they've got really good at just coping with whatever strategy they've put forward. And one of the strategies that many of them use is to push their body to the limits, to push themselves physically so far so they can quiet that anxiety in their head, so they can spend less time hearing that voice and just seeing if they can push their body to the absolute limit. Now, I've had this conversation with some of the guests on here. It came up on an interview that I recorded this morning, which you'll see soon. The episode that comes to mind from previous episodes, Colin Durrant, way back in one of the earlier episodes, he talked about in his athletic journey how often he would ride and ride and ride and just see how far he could push his body to try and quieten the voice in his head. And anxiety can be all-consuming. It can be debilitating for you to do anything. And if you're in a high-pressure and high-stress, high-performance environment, sometimes the easiest way to push past that is just by working harder and harder and harder. And if anxiety then costs you a moment in a game, when that fear took over, what's the usual response? You hear it often, we're just got to work harder. We just got to work harder. But what happens eventually is the body can only sustain so much. And because the anxiety's got to go somewhere, you're not actually removing it from your body. It's just sitting further deeper down, you've pressed it down, you've pushed it down, suppressed it by just working harder and taking your mind away from it. Doesn't mean it goes. And so something's got to give. And eventually you come to that point of burnout. And then the injury comes when in a certain moment you're not at your optimal levels. You might go in a little bit softer than usual. You might relax a muscle when you're trying to change direction. You might not brace for yourself properly. Or it could just be from burnout that your body, from a mental perspective, doesn't react as it should in a certain situation, and you end up not being able to avoid something that's coming in a way that you usually would. And here comes the burnout injury. I remember my burnout injury. I didn't realize at the time, but I was early stages glandular fever, and my body was telling me I needed to rest, but I just couldn't bear the thought of not playing. So I played in that game, and I was playing quite well, as you often do when you're unwell. There's something about, you know, your body rising to another level because you think, physically, I'm not feeling great, so I'm gonna have to really push myself to a limit. And I was playing really well, but then I went in for a tackle, which I remember it clearly, where I'm like, oh, probably shouldn't, but then you can't be soft, you got to go in. And I didn't, it wasn't from contact, it was because when I slid in not concentrating properly, almost reluctantly, because I kind of knew that I shouldn't have been going into that challenge. My leg got tucked in the wrong spot and I broke my fibula. And I remember my wife saying to me, I told you you shouldn't have played. She could already see the signs, right? I'd been exhausted. It's often when things take a hold, like something like glandular fever, when you run down and your body's telling you you need to rest. And so not only did I find out that I had glandular fever, but I've now got a broken leg. I'm in a cast, and we had a trip to Melbourne with two young kids coming up, which we ended up having to take, which was really challenging for me on crutches, but way more so for my wife, who had to manage two young kids' luggage, and I wasn't able to carry things because I was on crutches. So a really challenging time, but also I got, for the next week, I just couldn't get out of bed. Like, I was thinking, what, surely a broken leg is not causing me this. So then after a week and a half, I'm still feeling flat. I take myself to the doctor and we do the test, and yeah, I've got glandular fever, burnout injury, and then a physical burnout injury. And this is what can happen. And there are any number of athletes that this will happen to. Like I said, it's usually the anxious one, and it's usually a repeat pattern. And sometimes these burnout injuries aren't really bad. They can sometimes just be niggles and, just some of those sort of soft tissue injuries that aren't too serious, maybe a little bit of a niggle, maybe, you know, those lower grade injuries that just keep them out for, don't even keep them out, maybe take them off the field, but they're back next week or for a week here, a week there, just enough time for them to recharge and then to go and do it all again and push their body to the absolute limit. But when you can change that, help that particular athlete to be able to deal with the anxiety, to be able to channel it into something more meaningful and positive, to actually help them fuel a better performance, and then give them strategies so that they're not even facing that anxiety at all in the different situations that they need to not be. It doesn't mean you're going to remove anxiety altogether. We all experience it in some form. It's a normal emotion. It's a helpful emotion in a number of different ways, but it doesn't serve at different times. So what are the strategies we need to be able to use that for a good fuel, and also making sure we're getting that balance right? Because when we've got other ways to deal with it, we won't need to push our body to the limit to drive yourself to that point of burnout, avoid the injury, and start getting more of that consistency. Now, again, if you apply the lesson across to your life, it might happen for you when you're trying to get yourself back in shape, trying to get a habit of regular exercise, whatever it is. You might run this same cycle, and it may be because you've got really good at suppressing that feeling of anxiety by pushing your body to the limit in certain ways. It could be that you push yourself to the limit in your chosen career, your work, in some other area, and you have these patterns of you're feeling like you're getting better, you're getting more consistent, and then something happens and you have a setback. So if you want more consistency, it's having that ability to, as I described before with the athlete, to be able to work through whatever you're feeling, whether it's an anxiety or some other worry. Get that consistency in your life. It's going to change everything for not only your performance, but how you're feeling about yourself on a day-to-day basis. You've taken the time to listen to this whole episode. Now it's time to take action. Commit to one thing you've learned today and make it happen. And to avoid any obstructions, join the Sport is Life movement by clicking on the link in the show notes.